Joining me now on the phone, Chef Emily Butcher at Nola, a really cool restaurant in St. Boniface. Chef, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Thank you for doing this. I got to tell you, I have not been to Nola yet, but you were on my list. I write a column in the Winnipeg Sun every Sunday, page 2 of the Sun, called Hal's Kitchen. And so I've heard of you, and I first heard of you from my friend Nick at Helios in St. B. He said, Hal, we got to go for lunch at Nola. And then I saw that Nola won Best Winnipeg Restaurant at the Winnipeg Nightlife and Lifestyle Awards. Congratulations for that. Tell us about Nola. This is your creation.
Of course. So it's a we're open lunch and dinner Tuesday to Saturday. Lunch is pretty casual, you know, sandwiches, salads, all with, you know, a bit of a spin on it. And then dinner service is a family style share plate. And, you know, people always ask me, what kind of food do you serve? And it's really just what I grew up eating, food that I love, and a lot of nostalgia just to bring some fun to the table and start a conversation.
Nice. How long has Nola been around?
We're at about the 2.5 year mark.
Yeah. And you've won awards before. I mean, this one I mentioned is just the latest. What is it about your, talk a little more about your food. Every restaurant has one or two dishes I think they become known for. What are those dishes for you and Nola?
Of course. So some of the standouts from the beginning, we have the Reuben gyozas. So that dish came from the fact that Mike, the owner, he also has King and Bannatyne, and they're very well known for their River City brisket, and I wanted to incorporate that. So it's a dumpling that, you know, that's something that I grew up making with my family all those years. But, you know, it has braised brisket and house-made sauerkraut. We have a wasabi mustard sauce. Of course, there's the gunpowder carrot. I love feeding people vegetables. and then we have the scallop dish, which means a lot to me. It's based on a lobako, which is a steamed daikon cake, and it's my auntie's recipe that I've sort of infused with a little bit of Winnipeg using smoked gold eye.
Isn't it great when you can take recipes that you grew up with? I can only imagine what it must be like for a chef, but when you can share those dishes now with thousands of people in a restaurant and knowing that that was your auntie's recipe, right?
Yes, exactly. I like to think that love and that, you know, love for food really translates to the table. And we always wanted the space to be, you know, really lively and welcoming. And it's like you're coming over to my house and I'm cooking for you.
Yeah. Why does Winnipeg, and I really believe this, Winnipeg punches way above its weight when it comes to food and restaurants. Why is that? Why are there so many talented chefs like you here, Emily? Because that is the case.
I totally agree. I grew up in Vancouver. And I've decided to make Winnipeg my home and open a restaurant here. So I definitely agree. We Winnipeggers love good food and they love to support local restaurants. And I think that means that there's a lot of creativity that can happen, you know, in local spaces, and people can take a few more risks and give people more interesting events to attend. I'm continually grateful for the amount of support that Winnipeg shows the restaurant. It's it is what makes it amazing, you know.
In a really tough, I mean, listen, You know, even prior to the pandemic, margins were slim in the restaurant business, and they're even slimmer now. And we're going to talk in a bit here about business optimism, small business optimism in Manitoba. It's on the rise, which is good, especially in the hospitality industry. Now, you're the chef. You talked about Mike, the owner. Do you worry about stuff like that, or do you focus on the food? I mean, I guess if you own the restaurant, you have to be worried about it, but how do you feel about that? How optimistic are you about hospitality restaurants going forward?
Right. Obviously costs are continually rising, so we're definitely keeping an eye on that. But I have always believed that if you create like an exceptional experience for people, they will keep coming back. And that means not just the food, but the whole team that makes NOLA what it is, the managers, people, the cooks, you know, people behind the bar, your servers. We really focus on building a team that believes in what we're doing, and I think that that creates a better experience.
That is so true. Emily, that is so true. You know, people often, I don't even know if it's true or not, they say, oh, there's more restaurants per capita in Winnipeg than anywhere else in Canada. And I don't know if that's true or not. But the bottom line is, you just have to be the best. Don't worry about all those others that are not as good as you, right?
I mean, we focus on constantly getting better too, right? Like, and we have lots of special events that we're really excited about that bring in even more people. We're working on our spring menu. We opened a wine bar next door, you know, like we just keep pushing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think, I really think that it's going to be a great year going ahead in 2024 for restaurants. You know, there's another great restaurant in your part of town that announced its closing, right? Which is Marion Street Eatery. And that's a great spot.
I'm shocked.
And it's going away. So, you know, I'm sad when I see restaurants close, but I'm excited to see new ones open, and I'm really excited to hear about new restaurants like yours that I haven't tried yet that people can't stop talking about.
Yes, please visit.
you will see me soon. Emily, thanks a lot for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Emily Butcher, chef at NOLA, N-O-L-A, NOLA, in St. Boniface. Joining me now from Connexus Counseling, Carolyn Klassen. Good morning, Carolyn.
Hey, Hal. I was going to ask, how are you? But I already know you're stressed.
Here's my email to Carolyn this morning, literally just moments before I began my show. Sorry for the short email, but I'm way behind this morning. Help me deal with days like this, Carolyn. LOL. You're the expert. I'm stressed and behind. Is it the full moon, like Jackie says? Help me out here, Carolyn. Why are some days just like that?
Wouldn't we just like to blame it all on the moon, right? What I think, Hal, is that you run your engine high. You are always on the edge of losing control.
Am I paying for this session right now?
Because you are on live radio, and like I remember hosting once and feeling like I do not have enough eyeballs to multitask for all the things that are required, right? And then you do extra things on top. And so I think when people live interesting, engaging, lovely, you know, in lives that are so interesting and busy, it just means that sometimes you're going to, without realizing it, overload yourself. And then you have to figure out, how did I get there? How can I pull myself back? And in the meantime, like you did with me, what can I do to ask for help from people who care about me and are going to support me through this? And so that's what we're doing this morning.
Well, let me tell you, I appreciate you saying nice things about my job, the job I do, and the career that I've chosen here. But I'll be honest with you, I'm also lazy, because what it did when I was sending that last-minute email and I didn't really have anything to say, hey, let's talk about this, I went, well, let's talk about the crappy day I'm having. So I was lazy. It was an easy topic for us to discuss. It just does seem like some days are like that. And you know what? Here's the funny thing. as I get ready to turn 60 tomorrow, and there are so many people sending me such nice messages. I've got listeners sending me cards. I mean, it's just, it's wonderful. And I'll read a text message here in a moment. As I get closer to that age where I go, well, you know, I should probably do less, I've been faced with that in the past in my career, where not by choice, I found myself with not much to do. And I don't know, as you said, my engine has run so high for so long, Carol, and I worry about slowing down.
Well, I think it is something, and, you know, I've had clients where, you know, when life circumstance, their health or something interferes and they cannot live at the very high level they have, their nervous system has to adjust to a different, you know, RPM level. But I think sometimes it's fun being stressed, and it's fun doing interesting things and being engaged, but there's a price to be paid. But I think, and we can talk about the Anxious Generation book that you talked about a couple weeks ago,
yeah,
is that our bodies actually do better when we have some stress in them. We have to measure and moderate it and make sure that it's not intolerable. And I like what you have done even with this morning, acknowledging of saying out loud, you know, I'm busy, I'm stressed and behind, and can we talk about it? And I'm not going to be ashamed of it. I'm not going to sort of have to keep it a secret because I feel like this is some flaw of mine. I can just say that sometimes I'm overextended and I need help. And when you do that, people are happy to come around you and support you, or just understand that, you know, it's going to be a little bit different. And when you name it, and rather than hold it inside of yourself, but you put it out there, then the world is able to support you and care for you and just understand that it's that kind of day for you.
Well, and here's something else, not to make this all about me, but here's something else that happened this morning. And I took a second and thought about this. So Jackie's been working on a film late. She gets home very, very late. So she's waking up late, and she came in to say good morning to me literally as I was getting ready to go on the air. And I didn't have the proper time to say good morning to her. And after, you know, saying good morning and giving her a kiss and, you know, talking to her about her day yesterday and what's coming up today, the first commercial break, I went in and I did it properly. And that's the thing about stress and jobs and careers and our time, right? The really truly important things in life sometimes get missed.
I love that you said that, right? Jackie is your person, and your world would be a better place. You'll have a better day when you have a chance to set the day with her. And when you take the time to do that, it's something that's important for you and for your nervous system. And I suspect that we all benefit in implicit, unconscious ways because you're a different way on the radio when you've had a chance to set your day with Jackie. And Bronnie Ware, who's a palliative care nurse, when she says when she works with people at the end of life, they're not saying, I wish I worked harder, I wish I'd make more money. They're like, I wish I'd spent more time with my loved ones. I wish I'd let myself feel my feelings more. I wish that I had spent more time on doing the things that I wanted to do, like play and have fun. That's the kinds of things that people regret. And so I try to hold that for myself as well, of how can I be able to, at the end of my life, have less regrets in light of knowing what it is that people are saying. And I think we can just learn from those that go before us of how to reprioritize our lives so that we are majoring on the majors and minoring on the minors.
Mm-hmm. Farmer Curtis McCray from the St. Andrews area was on about half an hour ago, and he was talking about, you know, another crop year and fearing the unknowns. And I also thought about Curtis and what he had said to me in this email when I read a story this morning about people worrying about losing their jobs to AI. There will be some job losses because of artificial intelligence, but there will also be job opportunities, and it's about changing with the times. But how do we deal better, Carolyn, therapist friend Carolyn from Kinexus Counseling, how do we deal better with those unknowns? Because we worry about them, and then sometimes, you know, the worry was for real, and then sometimes, oh, why did I worry so much about that? So how do we get better at not worrying so much about the unknown?
Well, if there's any people that get a chance to figure out how to deal well with the unknown, it's people in agriculture, because there's so much beyond their control that they can't that they just sort of have to trust and hope, and some years are going to be bad years, and how are they going to get through them? And so I think really all of us are often, we like to think we've got everything locked down and that we're in control, when the truth is that when there's a car accident or somebody has an emergency trip, you realize that all that control you had all along, there was a whole lot more uncertainty than what you realized. And I think what we have to do is realize that there's lots of things we can't control, but how do we take care of ourselves, engage in self-care, be our own best friend to support ourselves through that, seek help from people we trust, recognize that we have gotten through times of uncertainty before, and so although the next uncertainty, we don't, by definition, we don't know what it is, that we will be able to get through those because we've gotten through previous times of uncertainty. And I think it's supporting ourselves and recognizing that although it's hard, it's probably far more doable than we realize. And we can really ramp ourselves up where we get anxious, and then we get anxious about our anxiety, and then we get anxious about that anxiety. If we can just ground ourselves and say, what's the next right thing to do, we'll be okay.
And I saw a survey this morning. I'm curious to hear if you have anything to say about this. I'll just throw the stat out there and then go for it, Carolyn. 1 in 5 people think of their next vacation while they're on vacation.
Well, I can relate because I took last Thursday off, and I then I went out to, or I took, sorry, I took Monday off, and then I went to the cabin for the long weekend. And while I'm at the cabin, I'm like, I forgot how good it is to sort of be away from work and to just have a chance to be in nature. And I got to figure out how to get back up here. And you almost forget about how good it is to allow your nervous system a chance to reset. And you only realize that when you're on vacation. And then it's on those vacations you realize, like, I got to make sure that this is a priority and put another one in the calendar. And so, yeah, I can relate to that, where we just really have to remind ourselves. And sometimes it's the vacation where we get to remind ourselves, like, oh, yeah, it's really good to unplug and to just be with my own thoughts and to be out in the green.
Carolyn, thanks for shooting from the hip with me today.
Do take care. De-stress.
All right. Yes, Carolyn Klassen from Kinexus Counseling. Great follow on social media, Wired for Connection, CarolynKlassen.com, KinexusCounseling.ca. She joins us every Thursday after the 11:30 news.